Heavenly Father, we just thank you today. We just thank you for allowing us to come here, giving us a long weekend for some rest and starting a new week off, Lord. We just pray that as we start our day, Lord, that our hearts will be aligned with yours, that we will seek what you are seeking, that we would look for what you are seeing, Lord. We thank you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. We'll be reading from 1 John 1, going to chapter 2, verse 2. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So just a quick introduction to the book 1 John is written by John, as shown by his name. But if we look at the beginning, we see a very distinct style of writing or the usage of the word. And if we look at the epistle of John, like earlier in the New Testament, we see that he also describes the word in great detail. So if we go to John 1, we see in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, the word was with God, and all of that. And so who is the word? Jesus. And so as we go through the verses today, just a short chapter with some additional verses, we're going to go like the roller coaster in Ocean Park, like the pirate ship, where you're going to go this way, and then we're going to go back. And so as we start off, it's a quick introduction from John. I'm basically giving a premise of what he's going to write about in this letter with five different chapters four chapters following this one. And so essentially he is proclaiming Jesus, the Jesus that he saw, the Jesus that he touched, and the eternal life that is promised through Jesus. And the fellowship that we can get with the Father and Jesus. Then he goes, he dives into the light and darkness, saying that once we are with God, then there should be no darkness, because God has no darkness, and therefore we shouldn't be walking in darkness. If we're not walking in the light, then we do not have fellowship with God. And so darkness and light representing living in sin or not living in sin, if we continue down the next paragraph, we see if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So what is he talking about? Why is he saying, oh, we shouldn't be in darkness, but now he's saying we're all with sin? Well, naturally, we know that even though we're called to do something, doesn't mean we necessarily always do it, right? We're supposed to be without sin, doesn't mean we don't have sin. And we with our sinful nature, will sin. But even though we sin, it doesn't mean that's the end of it. Doesn't mean that we don't have to go walk in the light. Doesn't mean that we just stay in the darkness. But because Jesus, this is the next paragraph, so we continue on. In chapter 2, verses 2, Jesus is our advocate, and he has already atoned. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So even when we sin, We don't have to keep walking in the darkness because we are atoned. And so from here, we see that sin is such a great dividing factor between us and God, right? If you've ever been in a dark room, you know that even with a little bit of light, it's no longer dark. I recently just came back from like a conference, and usually, and what happens when you go to a conference is that you get to stay in a hotel, and hotels, some of them at least this one that I went into, one of my favorite features is their blackout curtains. I probably should get them for my own home, but having a blackout curtain at night changes your sleep immensely, especially for me because I'm super sensitive to light, especially in the morning. And so even though I don't want to wake up at 6, when the sun hits and the light shines in, my body just naturally wakes up, right? And so the blackout curtains are amazing. And so what happens is that you sleep, and then with the blackout curtains, I wake up at 9 thinking it's 7. Because we don't see that light. But even if you wake up, and then some of us who like light, not me necessarily, but when you move the curtain away just like 1 centimeter, the light will shine in and will blind you, right? Just a little bit of light chases away darkness. And so with sin, I know sometimes, well, I know for me sometimes, and maybe to you guys as well, it might seem like when we're struggling with a certain type of sin, it comes constantly, right? It's like, oh, sometimes you get little bits of victory, but then we tend to fall into it again and again, and sometimes it feels like it's hopeless. But I think the beauty of the gospel is that, as written here, we have an advocate with the Father. We have Jesus. We have the atoning sacrifice who died not only for us, it says, verse 2, not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. He has already conquered. He has already died for us. And through him, as we see, we are purified from all unrighteousness. If we go on our way back, we go to chapter 1, verses 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Being purified from all unrighteousness essentially just means that we will be counted righteous in the sight of God. And it is only through Jesus Christ, because we know our sins has separated us from Jesus. And so if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies from all sin. So what is the point of walking in the light? What is the point of not living in sin? The ultimate goal in the end, as we see here, is to have the full fellowship with God and his son. And so on our way back, we see, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is in chapter 1, verse 3. And so the ultimate goal actually is to have this fellowship with the Father and the Son and the body of Christ. Sin, as much as it is bad, it is harmful for us. The main reason why we don't want to live in sin is because it prevents us from having this fellowship with God. And I think a lot of times, at least for me, I can only speak from my experience, I lose sight of why I shouldn't sin, right? Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I shouldn't sin because if I sin, then I will go to hell, or I'll upset Jesus, or there will be consequences to me or to other people. But what I forget, the most important thing, the reason why I shouldn't be sinning, or I should try to not be sinning, is because I lose fellowship with God. I think R.T. Kendo has the illustration when you're sinning, or when you, the Holy Spirit as a dove will fly away. And when we sin, we lose the fellowship with God, which is our goal, to be in constant fellowship with God. And with this fellowship with God, there is joy. And I think if we read verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. There is a footnote in some of our Bibles. Some manuscript says, your joy complete. And so the author writing could either be saying, we want to make your joy complete by sharing this fellowship that we might have with God. But at the same time, it is also our joy, which will be complete when we do get to share. And so if we put ourselves in the perspective of sharing this truth, sharing this good news, our joy, we'll be joyful when we can bring someone into this fellowship and be in fellowship with them and God. But at the same time, we, as we have already received this joy, when we are walking in, when someone shared it to us, when we can walk into this fellowship, we will get this complete joy because we'll be in fellowship with God. And so a quick encouragement is that as we also want to share this fellowship, this joy of fellowship with God to our people that we love, the people around us, I think it is important to remember why we're doing it in the first place. And the joy that we have because we're in fellowship with God makes it easier for us to want to share this to those around us. Because if we do not first have the joy of the fellowship with God, then we might lack the motivation, because it's like, oh, it's nothing special, right? Then why would I want to share? But if we have constant fellowship with God and we have the joy, the constant joy of being in fellowship with God, then obviously we will want to bring as many people in as we could, right? And so as Pierre leads us in worship, let us, I think this is one of the tasks or homework I've asked my youth group to do, is over the summer, think and pray for one person whom they will want to bring to church, into this fellowship over the next school year. And sometimes we might think it's a hard task, but the first step actually is just to pray, because God has already prepared and he wants to bring people into his fellowship. So us here, why not just pray over next day, next week, who is someone that we want to bring into this fellowship and this complete joy with God.
Strong high tower. David is promised inside of my heart. We listen to the sound of power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Bow low. Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. We listen to the sound of power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle.
Why don't we come up as a circle and let's pray together.